Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Good to be with you on a Wednesday. Tomorrow night, 7:15. Kickoff for Texans and the Jets. 4:15 Texans countdown. You got me and Seth, and me and Clint will have Texans postgame into the wee hours of the morning. So we look forward to that. Jets still a 2-point favorite over the Texans. As far as the odds board goes, I'll get to the odds that are scaring me a bunch in just a second. But the Texans still have a few guys that are fairly high up the board. And you got three nationally televised games coming up here over the next 3 weeks. Texans have about as good an opportunity. If you're an individual player up for some sort of award on the Texans, you've got a real opportunity here coming up. And I know we're all about the team and the swarm and everything else. But
screw,
man,
the team.
I'm with that. Yeah, Seth, I like the
life is short. You know, live for yourself and no one else.
Amen, man. You know what I like even more than the Super Bowl? The NFL honors ceremony where they're handing out individual accolades.
Psychological studies have proven that being a very, very selfish person is the best way to achieve happiness in this life.
In some vocations, it absolutely is.
Actually, well, yeah. If you're a sociopath, especially.
For sure.
But other than that, I'm joking for the most part.
Now, unfortunately, none of these people whose names I'm about to give on the Texans or with the organization are sociopaths, as far as we know. But they are all in the mix for individual awards. C.J. Stroud is currently tied for fifth on the odds board for MVP of the league right now. So even with the, you know, individually his performance being a little up and down lately, mostly due to exterior circumstances for him, pass protection not all that great, he is tied with Jaden Daniels. He is behind in ascending order Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, favorite to win the MVP right now. The guy the Texans held to 9-for-30 a month ago, Josh Allen, went 9-for-30 against the Texans. He's favored to win the MVP of the league right now.
The stats are pretty incredible. John Harris had read them off during the Nick Caserio show. The completion percentage and the abysmal stats of the last three quarterbacks who have played at NRG Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the Caleb Williams performance, the Josh Allen performance, the Anthony Richardson performance. It's been NRG Stadium is turning into, granted, obviously a couple of those quarterbacks have youth issues on their side.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's turned into kind of a house of pain again.
I think Trevor Lawrence, I saw the same interview.
Trevor Lawrence was in there as well.
Yeah. So it's not been, you're right. For quarterbacks trying to complete passes, it has not been a good environment.
It's like low 40% completion percentage when you add all those guys
up. It's awesome. If you're a Texan fan, it's great. A big reason for that, the pass rush. Will Anderson Jr., number two, holding steady on the odds board. His odds have gotten better. He's plus 525 to win Defensive Player of the Year, which is a little over 5-1. You bet 100, you win $525. The problem for Will Anderson Jr. is that T.J. Watt might need to be abducted by aliens in order for you to win that award, Will. I hate to tell you. T.J. Watt is actually greater than 50% chance of winning this award. He's minus 110 right now.
I think the narrative part of it, which is valid, I think, is that, okay, look, the Steelers were a team that are where they are now and have the record they do because the defense was just lights out in the first part of the year.
Yep.
If Russell Wilson is a better a better quarterback for them than Justin Fields, the defense doesn't have to be as crazy good as they were in like the first five or six games of the year. And they haven't been as good, but he's just got such a head start on that narrative that as long as he finishes as one of the sack leaders in the league and if the Steelers are a bona fide playoff contender, then I think it's a slam dunk.
No, you nailed it. That's it. He's got a head start and first impressions are really important in races like this. What do you think of the Steelers? Like, the Steelers are leading that division right now. If you had to get, would you take the Steelers or the Ravens to win that division? They haven't played each other yet this. I don't think the Steelers have played a division game yet this season.
I've got to find a reason to be actually skeptical of Russell Wilson first. And so far, so good with them. And I know some of the George Pickens catches have been really poorly thrown balls that George Pickens made the best out of. But we've also seen a little glimmer of vintage Russell Wilson in there as well.
It's funny with some of these teams, Seth. Like, if you look at your schedule, like, so often it's like, what version of that team are we getting? Like, if you're playing the Browns in the second half of the season, you're getting a much different version of the Browns with Jameis Winston at quarterback than you had with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. If you're playing the Colts, you know, assuming that Joe Flacco is what he was last year in Cleveland, and there's already evidence this year that he is, he's played two games for the Colts and he was very, very good in both those games, you're getting a much different version of the Colts than you would have gotten in the first half of the season. Tua Tagovailoa, like if you caught the Dolphins in the first half of the season, you caught a version that was getting quarterbacked by Skylar Thompson and Snoop Huntley. You get the Dolphins now, like the Texans are going to be in about a month and a half, and you're, well, we'll see if Tua can last a month and a half, but let's assume that he does. Like you're getting a way different version of the Dolphins in week 15, the Texans are, than you would have gotten if you'd played them at any point in the last 2 months. You know,
where are the Steelers on most of the power rankings right now? Like right around
top
10 or so.
Top 10. Yeah. Like top, but somewhere between.
They've won
like,
3 in a row. They're 6-2. It's and Mike Tomlin is their head football coach.
And you could argue that you could make an argument that on one side of the football, they're the best team in the league. You know what I mean? Like you can, like defensively, they're one of the best defenses in football. You know, they're not, there's nothing smoke and mirror-ish about the overall team. Like you get it. Like just, Russell Wilson, don't turn the ball over, don't make mistakes, and then let our defense go to work. You know, and Najee Harris is starting to run the ball really well. Like the running game is getting going for them too. They're a good football team, no doubt. Danielle Hunter, by the way, 9th on the board for Defensive Player of the Year. I like seeing that. Danielle Hunter leading the league in pressures right now.
Oh, he is 9th on the board. Okay.
9th on the odds board for Defensive Player of the Year.
That would take a little bit of a, you know, like sacks are always a little bit of luck in some of it. But if you're getting the pressures, then the sacks tend to follow eventually. And we started to see that in the last, I mean, Danielle's showed up a lot more in the sack margin.
That's been a great signing. I don't care what anybody says. The Danielle Hunter, even though he doesn't have 8 sacks or anything through 8 games or whatever, he and Will as a combination are awesome. I love that signing.
Those, by the way, those pressure stats, I can't take them seriously anymore. The ones the NFL puts out from their next gen stats, because when I go in and when I go watch the film that on the pro version of NFL Premium, like they'll sort it out and you can watch plays where there was pressure. So I wanted to watch all of CJ's plays, you know, where he's under pressure, and I'm noticing more and more, like, okay. Yeah, the pocket was compressed, but I wouldn't call this pressure.
Right.
And I think that's where, when people were talking about the Texans leading the league in pressures, that's based on the NFL Next Gen one. And a lot of it in the first part of the season, I wouldn't have counted them as pressures, because it was Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter pushing or power rushing their guy towards the quarterback, and I think getting close enough. And then the GPS model that they
triggers.
Use registers that as a pressure, but good quarterbacks don't feel that as pressure.
They cross the plane of the pocket for like a second.
Like I think it's if they're within a yard or whatever the quarterback. Yeah. So it's a little fugazi. I think the fact that they're actually getting more sacks now is the more relevant thing.
Yeah, D'Amico Ryan's 11th for Coach of the Year, and I think what D'Amico is learning, if he even cares about Coach of the Year, is if he were 6-2 and it was last year, he'd be number one on the board. that is expectations, is what that is. Is you're 6-2 in year two, you're 11th on the Coach of the Year. If he was 6-2 last year at this time, he'd have been number one on the board.
Who's the leader on the board there?
I'm gonna look. Let me pull that up here real quick. And the leader for Coach of the Year is Dan Quinn at 2-1 right now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Dan Quinn at 2-1. Andy Reid 2, Sean Payton 3.
Jaden Daniels, kudos to him. And all the credit in the world, and there's nothing you can do about this. It's just that every time I see a still frame photo of him throwing the ball, he looks, it's a wisp, you know,
it's nice.
It's hard to envision him making it intact through an entire NFL season.
Yeah, he's tiny.
So skinny.
He's just so skinny. Yep.
Yeah. He's not short or anything. He's so skinny.
He's super skinny. This is the thing that's scaring me on this odds board here. We're going through some of the odds and how it affects the Texans. The Texans right now, Seth, I don't know if you looked at this, they are minus 2,000 to win the division right now. Minus 2,000. You've got to bet, you got to risk $2,000 to win a mere $100 on the Texans winning the AFC South. They are 1 to 20, not 20 to 1. They are 1 to 20. To win the division. Now, I get it, and I used the word stranglehold earlier this week. They took a stranglehold on the division by beating the Colts. They're 6-2. The Colts are 4-4. Texans have the season series win over them, so they've got head-to-head, so it's basically like a three-game lead in the division. I will point out a couple of things. The Colts have replaced Anthony Richardson with Joe Flacco. That is a positive. The Texans play the Jets tonight or tomorrow night in a short week, and that's a game they're an underdog in, and then they play the Lions, maybe the hottest team in football the following week. Like I'm as bullish on the Texans as anybody right now, despite some of the blemishes on the team. I really like the direction they're going as a franchise, and I feel good about this team making the postseason. But this is a couple of weeks here coming up where minus 2,000 looks awfully, awfully steep. You know, you lose this game to the Jets, and now you got the Lions coming to town, and you're staring 6-4 in the face. If Joe Flacco figures some things out for the Colts,
yeah,
then this thing's a dogfight again.
Well, I think honestly, a lot of the still relative bullishness about the Texans as a QB, as a Super Bowl prospect, is rooted in the fact that CJ Stroud's the quarterback.
Yeah,
and this has been a year where the film watchers have watched the Texans and watched CJ Stroud operate and still been very impressed with CJ Stroud. Mm-hmm. It's just, it hasn't translated into genuinely good offense, right, and scoring points and all of that. So I think there's still a little bit of an upside bet on, mm-hmm, the Texans based on CJ Stroud, mm-hmm, and a belief that, okay, at some point it'll really start to click. And this is what happens when you've got new pieces and young players, et cetera, et cetera. But there's, I think objective observers and Texans fans alike know that there's more in there with this offense.
Yeah.
They're not right where they should be. They're capable of more. They've just got to get it to click.
Got to get Nico back, man. Just got to get through this game.
Oh, yeah, that part. Yeah, that minor detail.
Get through this game. Find a way to win this game and get Nico back. And then I'm feeling minus 2,000-ish a little bit more.